Alright, time for another draft physics.com. Debate physics also. Video presentation. And such. So this Despar Volgro has made a video of another air track experiment. So I guess we'll explain the experiments, then I'll play his video, then I'll show the clip. But it's really tedious and nonsensical, I think, to keep going over pieces of evidence that are so overtly poor and tainted and not very, very incredible rather than credible as results. So for tons and tons of reasons. But anyway, he claims to be an honest participant. It seems he can make a video. He speaks good English. I don't know why he doesn't respond to any of the arguments I've had to make over and over again, and that's why I have to keep making them over and over again, is because nobody responds to them. So why don't you get to that part, frankly? All right, so anyway, we'll switch to the camera. And we'll take that off, and we'll just go over it real quick. So we have a simple, there's a formula, okay? The mv squared formula, the kinetic energy formula, and if you derivate it out, all right, you get this theory, okay, that basically says that if I have a one mass and then something that's twice as massive, the theory, the mathematics provided by Professor Lewin clearly states a certain event will take place. This is the prediction of the math. So it's not like you can change the prediction of the math. The math has a prediction. Now, in this case, the prediction, it doesn't come out right, frankly. I mean, it comes out with the same flaw in that there's too much energy, but it doesn't come out with the right proportions, okay? So the idea is that you have a momentum of, you put in a certain velocity into this object, collide it into the heavier object. The heavier object leaves with more momentum, and you have a reflection of the first cart, okay, that also has momentum. And the idea is that somehow you're allowed to minus this direction from that direction, and somehow you have the same energy in the system. When clearly you don't have the same energy. You put 100 in going this way, you still have 133 going the same way. It can clearly be extracted as free energy. So it doesn't make any sense, frankly. It's just illogical. So this leaves with two-thirds the velocity. So if this is twice the mass, it has to leave with two-thirds the velocity in this direction and one-third in this direction. Not one-quarter, one-third. All right. So that's the basic idea. My argument is this is nonsense. It can't possibly happen in this physical universe. You cannot take 100 momentum in one direction and produce 133 in the same direction. You can't do it. It's impossible to make momentum. Making momentum is making energy. You can't do it. Can't happen. It's irrelevant that you put this in a container and say, well, the 33 that hit this side is canceled by the 33 that hit this way. I turned left and then I turned right again. Therefore, I didn't turn right and I didn't turn left. No, you did. I've pointed out that a simple lever demonstrates the fact that this cannot possibly be true, in the sense that the lever shows that this doesn't make any sense, that this 1/2 mv squared equation is nonsense. You put a 2 mass in with 100 joules of energy hitting a lever on one side, a scale. You put a 1/2 mass, okay, twice as far away from the fulcrum on the other side, and you make 100 joules of extra energy. It's free energy device. If I did it the opposite way, I lose 1/2 the energy. Clearly, the flaw is in this formula. Clearly, that doesn't happen. There's no 200 joules over here. This will oscillate just fine, okay? With the 2 mass here and the 1 mass here, I can oscillate it. It'll oscillate just fine, indicating there can't be twice as much energy on one side and then 1/2 as much energy on the other side. It's not possible. It's not logical. So take this argument and defeat it. Explain how levers don't work this way. And explain how, oh yeah, there's no way to capture this extra 100 joules. Of course it would be capturable. All right, so and then I point out the history just demonstrates what a flawed theory this is. It was invented Okay, before 1660, everybody believed MV. Newton demonstrated it, Descartes demonstrated it, Galileo demonstrated it. This is always works. Mass times velocity got a ton of right answers. Newton was a physics god because of his right answers. He predicted when comets would show up. He predicted all kinds of things, when, you know, the exact orbits of moons, all kinds of things. MV. MV worked. Descartes predicted the motion of objects in collisions. Very accurately, MV worked. Galileo did the same. And then a rather excessively dogmatic religious kook came up with the suggestion of MV squared because he thought the physics was too atheist. It was indicating that somehow God wasn't playing enough of a role in the universe, and he invented MV squared. And for over 100 years, they played with that. Okay, different people propagandized for the different sizes. They never made simple arguments about how it survives the Lever test. Instead, they did bogus little clay experiments and bogus little sand experiments to make some argument that somehow they could make this MV thing happen in the real world when it didn't happen. All right, and then in the 1800s, they stick a half in front of it, dramatically change what they say they proved to be the fact. All the evidence they used, all the experiments they used to prove MV, now were debunked by their own sticking a half in front of it and conceding those experiments were somehow wrong. It's a terrible freaking history, and you account for none of it. You just sit there and say, oh, no, the default is believing in it. The default isn't being cynical or being critical. No, the default is believe it. And until somebody disproves it, you're going to believe it, even though it makes absolutely no sense. It violates conservation of momentum. It violates Newton's third law. These are supposed to be almost sacred elements to physics. Conservation and, you know, Newton's third law of equal and opposite. You now have this idiotic circumstance. You have an explosion in the gun. The gun goes away with 4 joules of energy. The bullet leaves with 4,000. What sense could that make? How is that equal and opposite reaction? So that's the context. Ugh. So instead of dealing with those subjects, he's playing a game with another CART experiment that is impossible to scrutinize because of the way it's videoed, and the numbers don't make any sense. So here you have it's supposed to be pretty close to twice the mass, 10 grams short, 2% short. And you got numbers where it's obviously 1/4 of the velocity it's coming back with. It's supposed to be, by mathematics, it's supposed to be 1/3. So it's not even the right answer. It's not even consistent with Professor Lewin's experiment. It's a contradiction to Professor Lewin's experiment. The outcome isn't what Professor Lewin's experiment had as an outcome. So how does this verify it for you? How does this make it seem like, oh yeah, it's really been established as a proof, when the numbers aren't the same numbers? They aren't what they're supposed to be. Sorry, no sale. Now, I'll get to the video, because the video has just egregious errors in it. I mean, stuff that makes no sense at all. Just can't be defended as, oh yeah, we're going to scrutinize this piece of cruddy evidence. So, I mean, any claim you make to being an impartial participant in this conversation, I have to say, oh, come on, please. You know, don't insult my intelligence that you're unbiased. You clearly have a grotesque bias. Something. All right, so we'll play his video from this point. It's towards the end. So he goes through this whole tedious process of analyzing a video clip that's... It's microseconds of actual experiment, and the rest of it's just talk about how to do the experiment, blah blah blah. Terrible waste of time. Anyway,
that's where the extra momentum is hidden.
All right, so I probably need more volume, so I'll add a little bit to this and see. I'm not sure.
So CART 2 is the sum total of CART 1, the momentum of CART 1 coming in, and CART 1 does.
Okay, but that's not the math. The math is more rigorous than that. It demands real proportional, okay? It's not like, oh yeah, well I'll just subtract this direction from that direction. That's not what the math says. The math doesn't say subtract this direction from that direction. If that answer comes out okay, it's okay. It explicitly says 1/3 goes one way and you have one third extra in the other direction. So if you're not getting those numbers, you're not matching Professor Lewin's prediction, okay, that the math states is the prediction. So the experiment doesn't validate the prediction.
Looking back, the momentum of going that direction and the momentum going that direction, the sum total of that equals the momentum of car 2. This has always been the case for every single experiment.
Okay, so this is just more nonsense. Every single experiment. No, it hasn't been. The one from the high school teacher, I proved, demonstrated, frankly, that it isn't the case. The cart doesn't go. I mean, unless you're stupid enough to think the cart was a three-mass cart, it clearly only goes, okay, half the velocity at best. So, again, it's not every experiment. So, you know, that's just, you know, you playing games with the truth again. It's a clear contradiction, okay? The woman, the high school teacher, remember that one? Okay, if you just understand that she's using the full length of the cart and you have to cut the time in half, I mean, you double it because it's twice as long. And we're saying it's twice as massive, not three times as massive, just twice as massive. It comes out pretty close.
I have watched and I've done the calculations. It has always been like this. So
okay, so just show me you doing the calculations on her video. All right, with what are the reasonable approximations are. The cart is twice as big. You know, it's twice as long. So let's not pretend it's three times as heavy.
This is what nature does, apparently.
No, it isn't what nature does, apparently. These are all flawed experiments, grotesquely flawed. All right, and you're just saying, okay, this is enough evidence to convince you. So in spite of the crappy history, in spite of the fact that even levers demonstrate it can't possibly be true, okay, you're saying, I believe in positive momentum. I believe you can make extra momentum and it's not free energy. That's not the makings of a perpetual motion device. That if I told the world, yes, it is possible to make free momentum, you can keep increasing your momentum in a direction, no problem, that all the free energy nuts in the universe wouldn't sit there and capitalize on it. I mean, you're being illogical to sit there and say the default is to believe. The default has to be, how can it possibly make sense? Free energy isn't possible. If it was, we'd already have it. Are you telling me we can build nuclear power plants, but we can't build a lever and gain 100 extra, I mean, twice as much energy coming out of the other side and just generate free energy? Why can't we do that? You're so unfair.
If it's wrong, then yeah, all the experiments, there must be some flaws in them.
Yeah, they're obvious flaws. It's not like some flaw, like these are really hard to find flaws. We can see it in the experiments. Look at the Brozo experiment. The cart is already accelerating at 3/4 of the pushing speed. Just letting the cart go, it goes 3/4 of the pushing speed in his experiment. I mean, that isn't a grotesque flaw. It didn't just jitter, it just didn't float. It accelerated in the direction. I mean, you can't understand how that's a grotesque flaw in an experiment where you're trying to detect the actual energy of something, that your system is automatically creating energy. You don't even have to touch the cart. You don't have to push it. You don't have to put any energy in. And the system itself is already creating the energy. And you can't concede that's a huge flaw. And then all the other videos, the terrible time, you know, the frame rates, and then you got we don't have any idea what the masses are. They didn't tell us what the masses of the carts are. You know, we have no accounting for the fact that they add these extra features, and you don't account for any of that. And you're saying you're convinced. So convinced that you're saying, well, how can anybody deny this nonsense?
All right, I want to make myself clear that this is just a neutral observation.
Okay, it's not neutral. The evidence is clearly completely indecisive. The experiments don't come up with consistent numbers. They don't match the mathematical requirements. So why are you saying that? You know, why are you implying that every experiment demonstrated this stupid nonsense when it doesn't?
I'm not here to say to debunk anybody.
Professor Lewin's own experiment right after, okay? This is another part of the, you know, could you account for this? I mean, am I saying this for no reason? You're saying you're not biased or neutral. Well, can't you understand as a neutral person, I'm saying overtly to you, here's an argument. Can you please explain how it's possible? The formula, the same formula that predicts this, okay, that predicts, let me change the format. You know, the same exact formula that predicts this, you know, one-third, two-thirds, the velocity, the same formula that demands that, demands it whether there's a spring or no spring, okay? This should be almost irrelevant because the hitting the two carts into each other should produce a substantially the same result. And the only thing it should possibly be able to change, unless you think springs are magical, the only thing it changes is direction, right? And so what happened in Professor Lewin's video? I played that video. I'm sure you've seen it. I've played it a numerous times. So don't deny that you've seen the argument I've made. And so in the first experiment, when Professor Lewin has springs, okay, what happens? Yeah, that we get this bizarre thing. We have a lump of clay on the cart, okay, which you should mention too, right? And then what happens when he does this a similar experiment, you know, where he wants the two carts to stick to each other and they don't stick. So instead of sticking, they bounce. What happens in that case? Yes, the two mass cart leaves with substantially less than half the velocity. And the second cart continues moving with some, you know, whatever, it's probably less than a quarter, okay, of the velocity. So the first cart ends up substantially slowed down and moving like maybe one-eighth of the velocity, and the two-mass cart is substantially less than half the velocity. Substantially less. Not a little bit less, a lot less, and nowhere even close to two-thirds. Nowhere even close to this two-thirds. That's the prediction for elastic collisions, and this would technically still be an elastic collision. The two carts hitting each other without a spring is still an elastic collision. So it gives you clear indication of a conflict here somewhere. What, are the springs actually are magic? They actually make energy? Come on. You can't be fool enough to fall for that. And that all the springs are doing is meaning that some of the energy is being stored in the spring, and that way it gives it back more energy to the first cart, and that's all that's going to change. And that's another flaw in this experiment. You've shoved, you know, into this conversation where now we have to account for more nonsense is, you know, this reflection part. And the reflection is way off. He does the experiment twice. Well, I'll show that part later. They're completely different results. He can't even repeat his own results. And you're sitting there saying, well, this is another piece of credible evidence that Gary has to account for. Why should I have to account for something this poor that you're pretending is really credible evidence? It's really unfair, frankly. It's just really, so don't tell me you're unbiased. Bullshit.
Prove anybody wrong or right.
That's all you're doing is just adding more propaganda, okay, that we don't already have enough propagandists in this conversation. You're just adding another piece of propaganda. The whole video, you watch the original video, it's clear that he's forcing the results to match the mathematics again. But he did the math so unrigorous, it's not the same formula as Lewin was using, that he doesn't even know that the one quarter is way off. That the results aren't what they're supposed to be. Again, 21 is one quarter of the original speed. It's not frickin' one third.
It's just me doing a neutral observation.
Okay, you're not neutral, so you're just lying to call yourself neutral. You clearly have a bias in favor of this nonsense. And you're saying, well, I'm going to assume them right because they're proving their formula. They're clearly not unbiased, right? Are you going to claim that the people doing these experiments are unbiased? That they don't have a clear bias? Their bias is to meet the expectations of their formula. Their bias is to prove the physics right, not to prove it wrong. They clearly have a bias.
All right. And just analyzing the experiments and this is the outcome.
Yeah, well, you're analyzing them with a clear bias. You don't point out how, well, you can't see anything at all that took place. Okay, none of the video is actually scrutinizable. You certainly can't see the weights on the cart. You can't see a goddamn thing, frankly. So why are you pretending it's a really good proof?
All right. This is it.
All right. And why are you just evading all of the arguments I've made?
So this is experiment number one, and I'm going to do a couple more.
I hope they're not, you know, as bad as this, because again, you're just, what, is this a horrible waste of time? Stephen Breaux is supposed to have a new fancy, shiny air track that he made that's supposed to be fantastic. So why don't you just wait for that?
Right. Let me start the video. Thanks for watching, by the way.
Okay, anyway. All right, so I'll go find the video and play bits of it just to show how it's useless, really. It's not information, it's just noise. All right, yeah, the video doesn't start with anything too great. I mean, some sort of Buddhist Hindu crap, which doesn't really thrill me to pieces. But anyway, so I'll just zoom ahead to the, I mean, you can just, we'll just jump ahead to a few pieces here.
Moment, the time interval that these two objects touch each other.
All right, so it's just the conventional babble doing the, you know, predictions with the F equals MA kind of jargon. Jump ahead.
It can be determined from.
So EK equals 1/2 mv squared, blah, blah, blah. And talks about energy conservation when clearly it doesn't conserve energy when a lever at all. There's no conservation of energy on a lever. So it's kind of silly to call it energy conservation and say you have, it says something to do with mv squared when it doesn't obviously conserve energy. If you use 1/2 mv squared, anytime you have unequal masses interacting, you will not conserve energy. You will either destroy energy or you will create free energy. That's what the formula directly causes. So only when you compare two objects that have the same mass will you ever get energy conservation.
Be going to make some illustration. You can see.
Okay, so this is just all more just, you know, it. There's nothing in here, you know, that really gets to anything. Okay, so now he starts talking about how the carts work and, you know, these different gizmos you can plug on them to connect them or have them reject. So the magnetic plug would kind of be a good way to do it because that's even better than the spring setup, but whatever, he uses the springs instead, the rubber bands, which is fine, blah, blah, blah. All right, and so we have cart one and we have cart two. He's supposed to be putting, I guess, four little pieces of mass, extra mass on cart two. So there's a little holder for the masses here, all right. But clearly, the weight of the springy things, there's only one on each cart, so obviously it would add more weight to the lighter cart than it would be adding to the heavier cart, so the heavier cart will be underweight. Somehow, the heavier cart ends up being underweight. So, anyway. So let's see if we can find the actual experiment. Unfortunately, I can't.
Of the loading mass, and you can see that is a part that we can use this to.
So these are, he's talking about the weights, and the weights would go on this little peg here. All right, so just keep jumping through here until we get to the part I want.
Already seen in the.
Okay, the little cards that go through the time gates. All right, so I'll pause and just find the actual experiment. All right, so here's the actual experiment in the video. It's as a subset in the video, so I have this gigantically enlarged and it still won't help any, so we're not going to be able to do any, you can't see the tape measure, you really can't do any scrutinizing of the results. So the first time it's been recorded, it went through the gate. Now who knows, you know, anyway, accuracy about anything. All right, and I can't see the weights on the second cart at all, so it's really hard to tell what he's got on there, but you can't see anything. So you can't really tell if there's weights on this peg here at all. It's invisible. second. It's variable frame rate, so it was 3 nothing frames per active frame. So again, huge frame rate problem. 3 dead ones, 1 active one, you know. So you really can't do any calculating from this of the actual speeds or anything like that. So it's really quite useless. So anyway, so he got these numbers. Now, I guess I can play this part and we'll see if we can make any sense out of it.
One possibility that might occur after collision, and you can see in this case that the object number one just bow back, right? This is V1 dash, and object number two just go
right. So the result was, yes, this went that way, that went that way. Now what's going to happen is he's going to repeat the experiment and it's not going to do that. And, you know, the only way I can do it is I have to actually play this part of the video. So that's how I'll play this part. All right, so we'll play this and...
in this direction. So that means you get the number on this monitor number one, number two, and number three. No, number four, because only object number two passed through the photo gate number two. And from this...
so we have 118, 432 is the coming back speed, which is obviously only a quarter of the speed. It's almost, the number's almost 4 times as high. So clearly not the right answer. And the heavier you make the second cart, the more reflection you're supposed to get, not the less. So the fact is the heavier cart should have more reflection. But anyway, I mean, 1/4 is substantially different than 1/3, frankly.
We know that T1 is 0.118, T1 prime, which should be from monitor.
Well, I'll go ahead and see if there's it says to repeat it, and so I'll get to that part, because, yeah, doing the obvious isn't much point.
From this monitor number three, like this. Okay, let's try again with example number two. And you have to press a reset button to reset the time counter before experiment. So in this case, you see that object number one and object number two they just go along after collision, right? So that means we would not get any number on monitor number two.
Okay, so clearly he just did the same experiment and got a completely different result. I mean, it didn't bounce back. Same experiment, same cart setup, same thing. How could he possibly do that? And doesn't that completely, now you're really in trouble, because now you have more momentum and both the momentums are in the same direction. So now you have, you know, you went in with 163 as a velocity. You actually, the cart leaving is now going faster than the cart arriving, which can't make any sense. And then the second cart shows up and goes through the time gate, you know, at the 460, which is a 1/4 of the original speed. But it's going in the same direction. So now you're not even minusing. So I could just say this isn't conservation of either kinetic energy or momentum here. You're violating both in this experiment. Both of them are violated. You can't get anywhere, can't get around it, okay? I mean, the second cart's going actually faster than the first cart, which is insanely crazy. How can it possibly be going faster than the first cart? And the second cart's still going in the same direction. So now I have the whole extra amount of momentum going in the same direction. So you can't see how obviously this experiment is put together, edited, you know, he put together two different experiments. They really aren't the same experiment. These masses must not have been the same masses. It must have been reversed experiment or something. Maybe he crashed the heavy cart into the light cart, and that's what this experiment actually was. But clearly it's not the same experiment. So, you know, what... I mean, there's other mistakes. He says, you know, later on, he says, he says you have to average these two. Well, how could you possibly average them when the amounts are in the wrong directions? I can't average two opposite directions. That's irrational. They'll just cancel each other out. They won't give you the average velocity. They'll give you the average velocity as zero. theoretically, or close to it, right? 460 versus whatever the other one, 430 or something. So I'll end up with, you know, a tiny, tiny fraction of the original velocity. So anyway, just come on. This is good evidence? No, it isn't. So why don't you just look, the video I did on the high school experiment is still up somewhere. I mean, do I have to go find the link to it? Go to analyze that one and show me how you know it shows 3/4 of the velocity continuing forward, because it clearly doesn't. All right, anyway, so enough of a video, but just, you know, come on. Is this what we're going to do, right? We're just going to keep looking at really crappy pieces of evidence and talking about, well, let's find the truth in this piece of crap as evidence. This completely not sufficient to be scrutinized piece of evidence by people who are trying to make the experiment come out right. Let's understand, they have no interest in showing it wrong. They have an interest in showing the mathematics works, not that the mathematics doesn't work. In spite of the fact that, again, in editing, they just completely combine two experiments that are not combined at all. I mean, he says, look, you got to hit the reset button, and like he was doing the same experiment again. It clearly can't be the same experiment because the results are so dramatically not the same. I mean, the cart's moving in the wrong direction. It can't be more obviously not the same experiment. All right. So that should be enough of an argument to dismiss this crap. Come on, can you bring something better to the table than this? Shit. Anyway. Oh, we'll call it a video. So this has been a draftphysics.com video presentation. Please make videos explaining why you believe this crap. In spite of the history, you believe it. So in spite of the fact that the history is obviously bad, right? They proved a theory that they later said wasn't right, and they disproved their own theory. And then the lever argument I've made over and over again. Explain how I have misrepresented how levers work. Just explain how the theory is right, even though it demonstrates how the theory can't be right, because if I put the energy into the lever one way, I lose half the energy. If I put the energy in the other way, I gain extra energy, twice the energy. I mean, it's clear evidence that the theory is wrong. And then this Professor Lewin experiment, where I've shown you his own video where in he does the same experiment essentially with springs and without springs and gets completely different results. And that shouldn't bother you? That the results are so inconsistent? Oh, come on.